This is Clark and the Coach, presented by Buildings by Design. Here's Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick.
We are live and on location at the 58th Annual Colorado Farm Show today. It is a farm show takeover on Clark and the Coach. Coach will be by in a little bit, and we'll talk a little bit of basketball. We've got Ryan Yoder, the head basketball coach at Resurrection Christian, on the show today. But we're going to kick this thing off, and it's going to be a lot of farm show stuff today. Marketing Chairman Eric Brown sits in with us right now. Eric, just good morning to you, man. Second day of this thing. So now, at least for you, things maybe start to get a little bit easier into the second day.
Yeah, the first day is always a little crazy. You go a whole year, and then all of a sudden it's here, and there's just a lot of moving parts to it. But, yeah, day one was great. We've kind of heard that from all the exhibitors. It takes us a while to get, that official attendance number.
Absolutely.
We got to, look at what type of parking we had and calculate that and, multiply whatever, but it takes us a while to figure out exact attendance. But from everything we've heard from exhibitors, volunteers, it seems like we're kind of had a typical first day attendance and, on pace to hit that, 25,000 plus that we typically have. And weather's cooperating with us, and everything's really going great so far. Great presentations yesterday, heard great, especially I was in the water conference room yesterday and got great response from people who sat in on that. So it sounds like it's just, day one went great. We're looking forward to day two and three at this point.
If you are invested in agriculture at all in Weld County in northern Colorado, you're here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the place to be. I mean, we have over 300 vendors, right?
Yes.
You've got all of the resources you can go to, classes that you can sit in on and increase your knowledge in whatever you want to do. I mean, this is the golden resource for the agricultural community.
Absolutely. And it's just, agriculture, and it's an industry that's always changing, always needing to innovate, always, making changes to meet whatever the consumer demands are, whatever the water situation, as we, have growing municipalities and tightening water supplies, it's just an ever-changing industry, and this is a great one-stop shop to not only talk with the supporting businesses, those 300 plus exhibitors, but hear from experts from CSU Extension or whatever the entity might be, to kind of see where the industry is going, what the new consumer preferences are, and just learn from one another. It's just a great one-stop shop to learn about where the industry is going and see what the new equipment is, see what the new innovations are, and learn about, to make these changes, there's all kinds of grants and funding opportunities.
Absolutely.
Out there, and
yep.
There's a lot of vendors here talking about that type of stuff, so it's just, just a great place to be.
I love that. People learning simply about what they can do as far as grants and things like that go. Things they don't know, and there are just more resources they can learn by. How did you find your way to the farm show? Are you an ag kid? Did you grow up in that situation?
Well,
how did you get here?
Well, really what got me started coming here about 12 years ago is I was actually I was a reporter for the Greeley Tribune. I was covering agriculture for the Greeley Tribune and writing articles for the Fence Post. And this was, we were talking about, this being a one-stop shop for kind of all things agriculture and where the industry's going. And this was, I met so many people at this event 12 years ago, so many resources that, people I ended up even working for, after I left the Tribune and Fence Post, I went to work for Colorado Corn. They've got a booth right here. And same with, I work at Northern Water now. We've got
sure.
a booth here. People that, 12 years ago when I first came here, it was just a great one-stop shop to learn where the industry's going, all the new, what's new, and again, just to meet a lot of great people in the industry. And, that's kind of how I came to it. And I've, 12 years ago, and I've never missed one. So.
Wow, that's fantastic. This is the 58th. We've been doing this since 1964. It's just a staple here in northern Colorado, no question about it. Free to get in, $5 parking. I like the fact that $5 parking goes towards scholarships and some of the other things that you guys need to fund it within this.
Absolutely. So that $5 parking, also some other partnerships that we've done, including Prairie Mountain Media, who puts our booklets together, and the a percentage of that advertising goes to the scholarship fund. Where a lot of ways that we try to work to get funding for that scholarship opportunity that we have in place. Now, not quite 40 years that we started that that scholarship fund, but going back to kind of the mid-1980s, I believe, is when they started that. But we've now done almost $350,000 with the scholarships.
Holy
here
cow.
With the Colorado Farm Show. And I think that's kind of the, you know, while this, you know, not only is a great, you know, kind of meeting of the minds in agriculture and a great place to see, you know, where the industry is going, it also supports that kind of next generation of leaders in the industry. And that's something maybe as much as anything, I think that's, you know, the volunteers that put this together, it's probably what they're probably most proud of.
Sure, we have to sustain that. I mean, our agriculture is it's number one out here. It's what we do. Excuse me. And we just have to be able to sustain things and get the younger kids coming up and getting into it. I interview so many of our student athletes out here, and so many of them are involved in FFA.
Absolutely.
And I tell you what, I mean, what a great resource, not only to learn the business, but to get in there and get comfortable in front of people so that separate those kids. You know those kids are going to be the ones that are going to get in front of their prospective employers coming up and are going to kill it in interviews.
Absolutely. And, you know, as much as I love FFA kids year-round, I love them even more the week of farm show.
Sure, sure.
They show up and they volunteer in about any way we ask them to. And, I mean, they, you know, we talk about all the, you know, the regular volunteers here. We use FFA and 4-H kids a lot here to make this thing go. So then they make they show up, ask what needs to be done, and they get it done. So we can't say enough. We have great things to say about our FFA and 4-H youth as it is, but
sure.
We like them even a little more during Farm Show Week.
It's packed today. I mean, there's just a ton of traffic out here, and it's nice to see, you know, after the COVID year, we didn't have a show that year. We're gaining that ground that we missed before and then some right now.
Yeah, I mean, even last year, you know, our first year back after, you know, missing a year with COVID, the attendance was maybe still, you know, still solid, but maybe
sure.
Just a little lower than previous years. And I think right when we had the show last year, COVID had a little bit of a resurgence. We still had our regular, our ag community, our, you know, farmers and ranchers, people who work in the industry. It seems like we still had a good presence there, but we lost a little bit of the general public. This is, you know, while it is definitely an event focused on, you know, production ag and, you know, being that resource for farmers and ranchers that it is, we do most years get a good, especially here in Weld County, I think there's a general public that really appreciates ag and wants to, you know, even if they're not working actively in the industry, just are fascinated with what's, you know, what the new things are in agriculture. And I think we lost a little bit of that last year with, I think that we even lost some speakers and a few vendors last year that were planning to be here, and staff either got COVID or whatever last year. So and I think that had a little bit of an impact last year on our general public attendance. And I, at least from day one, and again, we don't have exact numbers yet, but it seemed, comparing the attendance last year or yesterday to last year, it seemed like we kind of got a little bit of that general public audience back as well. So, you know, things seem to be working a little better in our favor this year versus, you know, some of the weather that we had last year during the show versus, you know, this year so far so good, and kind of getting COVID a little further in the rearview mirror. Things have really shaped up for us well this year so far.
Yesterday, we're talking with Eric Brown, the marketing chairman for the Colorado Farm Show. It's the 58th annual Farm Show, out here since 64, as we said. Yesterday, opened the show on Tuesday, and a fun day. I mean, no doubt about it. Give me a highlight from yesterday, something that you saw yesterday that you said, man, we're proud of that. We like to see that.
Well, I get a couple things. I know I mentioned that, you know, being in all the different conference rooms, and in addition to just having, you know, being back to good attendance where, you know, after a couple of years of fighting COVID. I think, you know, looking at some of the educational seminars, you know, in the conference rooms, I spent my day in the helping out in room C where we had the water presentations.
Sure.
Man, about, you know, especially for the last, you know, three out of those four, I mean, just about a packed room. I think there's definitely a lot of interest in the water issues going on. And one thing that was new, and I haven't had time to follow up to see how attendance was, something new that we haven't had in previous years, was one of the conference rooms was dedicated toward kind of small animal agriculture. You know, as there's, while this is still very much a production ag focused kind of event, there's certainly a lot of interest in, you know, along the Front Range and kind of that smaller acreage agriculture, the, you know, not the typical dairy and beef industry, but some certainly a growing interest in that smaller acreage, smaller animal agriculture. And so we had a full day on education on that front. And again, you know, just some, always kind of looking to expand and find a way to reach more people who, again, may not be in the what is kind of traditional production ag, but people have an interest in it, and people, again, that smaller acreage, smaller animal, you know, we certainly want to invite them to be part
of
this event.
Absolutely. So. Yep, no doubt about it. Today, Dairy Day, of course, huge day here, Equine Day tomorrow, we put agronomy in the middle of all that. I mean, there are just so many things. You can grab one of the pamphlets when you come out, folks, when you get here, and you can see where everything is, but yeah, your thoughts about today, tomorrow, wrapping up the show. If you were going to tell somebody to get out in here and see something, what are they going to come out and look at?
Well, it almost depends what audience you're talking to.
Yeah,
I mean,
if you're
general public, I mean, it's a great way to come out and, you know, just appreciate what agriculture does for you. And, you know, if you're a farmer and rancher, it's a tough place to beat in terms of coming to one place and learning what all is going on in the industry and
sure.
where things are headed, and also to really talk one-on-one with the supporting businesses. You know, for Northern Water, again, you know, that's my full-time, my farm show gig is a volunteer capacity.
Sure, sure.
My full-time role at Northern Water, we've been coming to this thing for year in and year out for a long time. You know, it's of the farmers that we deliver to, it's second to none in terms of that one-on-one FaceTime with the farmers we deliver to. And so again, it's just as far as, you know, if you're a farmer, it's a great place to catch up with the supporting businesses and learn what's going on. If you're general public, it's just a great way to appreciate what agriculture does for us. And certainly, you know, again, it would take long to cover all the different speakers that we've got going on today, tomorrow, but certainly encourage folks to go to coloradofarmshow.com. It's all listed out there in terms of what who's speaking when and what all we've got on tap. So
fantastic. Eric, thank you for what you do, first of all, out here, as you said, in that volunteer role, but couldn't pull off this stuff without you and Eric Ehrlich and other guys like that. But thanks for coming out, not jumping on the show with us, and go do your thing the rest of the day, man.
Hey, thanks again for having us on. We greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's Eric Brown, the marketing chairman here for the 58th annual Colorado Farm Show. We're going to come back in a moment. We'll get to a little sports here for a segment. Talk to Ryan Yoder, the head coach of the Resurrection Christian Cougars. Had a big win last night, and we've got them tomorrow night against the Eaton Reds in Eaton. A 7 o'clock tip tomorrow night. All right, we'll come back in a moment. More Clark and the Coach on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back, Clark and the Coach. The Coach is in the house. Bruce Dick joins me, as always, here. 58th annual Colorado Farm Show since 1964. Bruce, you grew up on that, the east out here. This is something you're familiar with.
Walk around here, and I'm thinking, wow, what progression, number one,
yeah.
Since I was on the farm. But if my dad was still alive, he would just be in awe of some of the equipment and all the vendors here. This is really, really a neat thing.
Yeah, it's packed out here today. There's no doubt out at Island Grove. Our show, of course, Clark and the Coach, brought to you by Buildings by Design. We thank them for their sponsorship here on Preps Radio. Let's get to the Gould Parts Hotline right now. Head basketball coach out at Resurrection Christian High School, Ryan Yoder, jumps on with us right now. Ryan, how are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing great. Yeah, thanks for having me. I hope things are well out there at Island Grove.
Yeah, thank you, man. There's just a ton of people, and I'm a city boy, so this is a little awakening to me to see. But it's where we live, man. It's the ag is such a big part of what we do here in Northern Colorado. But
it's a little different, Coach, than going to like the basketball clinic conventions or whatever. A little different vendorships and things like that. But wow, they do a great job out here.
Hey, Ryan, great. Good win for your kids last night, 67-32. And I put this in front of your son, Ty. We had him on just the other day on Monday. And I said, boy, big game coming up against Eaton this week. Do you ever have a shot at overlooking a team? I mean, Valley's a team that's been down. And he said, no. He goes, this group of kids, this group of his teammates, they've got their eye on one game at a time. And you guys seem to have that that focus last night, 67-32. Talk about the win last night.
Yeah, it was a good win. We got all 11 guys got to play. Everybody got to contribute some key minutes for everybody. So I was really thankful for that. But, yeah, our guys are really good and our coaching staff's really good on focusing one game at a time, but actually even further than that. We always talk about one quarter at a time, one possession at a time. And so it's ingrained in them. It's who they are. So we're not going to overlook a team just because their record's poor or something like that. But let's be honest, I was excited already this weekend after we beat Sterling out there in a great win out there in Sterling sure. about this game against Eaton. I was already getting pumped and getting the adrenaline going, so I can't wait.
Yeah, I don't know if it's any tougher or not, but University beat Eaton last night, so the Reds are going to be hunting for bear or cougar, as the case may be, but tomorrow night. But you guys go to the new Eaton gym. I haven't even been in that new gym yet, so I'm excited to get over there and see what that looks like. But last night for you guys against Valley, that's a great thing for you too, is that you got to see every player last night. That kind of, even though it's a team that you're supposed to beat, and you probably could beat them by 50 or 60 if you wanted, you play all those kids, you get that's building depth for the postseason, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and they deserve it. They work their tail off every day in practice, whether it's on the scout team or the guys that play more regularly and things like that. But so it's a good reward just for the work that's been put in. But you're right, yeah, good opportunity to see who's going to step up, who's ready to go, who's focused and can come in and contribute right away. And we're gonna certainly need to be 7, 8, 9 deep, as we want to make a deep state playoff run later this year. So, but really proud of, what I'm most proud of right now, obviously our three mantras are play great defense, rebound the ball. Every game we want to out-rebound the opponent, which we've done, I think, all but two games this year, and then share the basketball. And I was really proud of how our guys shared the ball last night. We had guys that could have scored as many points as they wanted last night, but they were dishing and creating things for their teammates who don't always get to play. So I thought that was great to see.
Hey, coaches, you prepare for Eaton, and you don't get a lot of just, prepare time because you have your program. You do what you do. Would you rather play in Eaton after they're coming off an unusual loss? Or do you kind of wish, man, I wish they'd have won last night? I always have those mixed feelings as a coach, going into a game against a really quality opponent.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. I was thinking the same thing. Though I always pull for Coach Irvin and Tanner and those guys who we know, and obviously Tanner played for you at Res and had a tremendous sure. career. So we were absolutely hoping Eaton won, without question, even though we love the guys at the university. But you never want to play a great team after a loss to give them even more motivation to come out, playing hard. So, but we're ready. Either way, we're ready. We know what we need to do. We know they've got great players, obviously Zach and Will and Haythorn and that whole, they got a great deep squad as well. So we're excited for the challenge. It's another great opportunity on the road against a great conference rival, and we can't wait.
Does it change any coach that you play home and away this year in league?
Say that again, coach.
Does what you do tomorrow night, does anything change because you know you're going to see them at your place later in the season?
Yeah, great question. I don't think so. I mean, we're not too tricky to figure out. We're going to be man-to-man defense.
Right.
We're going to be blocking you out on every shot. We're going to go all five guys know to go hit their guy. And I don't mean that, fouling them. I just mean we're going to go hit you, and we're going to get those boards. And then we're going to run, good sets on offense. And so, no, it doesn't really change things. I mean, the game plan, I think one of our keys is we have such a great coaching staff. I'm so blessed to have, Pierce Hornung and Hans Erlinson and Jason Werling and Billy sure. Ricketts and Matt Phillips. And so we watch film, and we know what their guys like to do, and we know what we would want to do to take it away. And we're going to do that whether we're at home or on the road. I think the key for us last year, we know we had a successful season, and it happened just so happened in the schedule. Most of our best games, most competitive games, were all at home last year. Eaton, Sterling, University, Manitou Springs, and the regionals. And So our challenge earlier this year was we're going to go on the road and we're going to get some big road wins. We got to do that to prove we can do it. So we've done it against University. We've done it against Sterling. And this is just the next step. We want to do it against Eaton as well.
And I know your practices are so important to you because, you know, after Eaton, and you do get to play teams again, but there are some, you know, teams in your league that you have to challenge your guys so much more in practice because they may not be challenged up to that great point in league amongst some of the league teams.
Yeah, no, it's a valid point. It's another benefit to having Pearson practice. You know, he's in his mid-30s, and so he can still play. We get him out there to be the other team's big guy often. So he was Desmond Williams last week, right? So
there you go.
We get to go against some good competition. But it's the beauty of having played Lutheran and Severance and Riverdale Ridge coming up this Saturday and Eagle Ridge, and we've been playing a tough out-of-conference schedule because – we wanted to be challenged and be ready for whatever might come at us later this year. So we feel really thankful about the good schedule we've had.
And, Coach, you talk about Pierce, great former player at CSU. Congratulations to you for having an assist record at Colorado State University for 29 years. That is just phenomenal. And Isaiah Stevens, obviously, you know him. He's such a great player and a great human being. For someone to break that record, quite an accomplishment. But congratulations to you for holding it for so long.
Well, thank you for mentioning that. I've been, you know, having people reach out and say congratulations. So it's good to be remembered. It was an honor to have that record for 29 years, something I was really, really proud of. And beauty of assists, of course, is you rely on your teammates, right? You can't make them make shots. So
they got to make shots,
I know. I think about guys like Doug Larson and Keith Bonds and Aaron Atkinson and Damon Crawford. Like, without those guys, the assist records don't happen. So, and Coach Morrill and Coach Grant, you know, with the opportunity they gave me. So I'm really grateful. But to your point, Isaiah is a phenomenal point guard. In my opinion, I think my son even stated it on your show on Monday, a better player than me, than I ever was, in terms of his ability to score, and create and dish the ball. I really believe it. I mean, he's a more complete player than I was. I hope Ty models after him, you know, as much as I do after that he models after me. But he's a good man, godly man, man of faith, man of character. So I've told Isaiah, I texted him Monday and said, hey, congrats, you deserve it, you earned it, man, well done.
Hey, Ryan, that was your kid that said that, too. I said, you got to go deal with your dad if you're going to say that that Isaiah was a better player. But
you know, sometimes these kids have no clue what they're talking about, Coach. So we knew how good you were when you led those Rams team, you know, under that great coaching staff.
We're talking with Ryan Yoder, head coach out at Resurrection Christian High School. Got a big one tomorrow night. We'll have it on air for you guys at 7 o'clock. As the Cougars come into Eaton, take them on in that brand new gym out there. Just before we let you go here, Ryan, I want to talk about a couple kids and just their progression. I mean, we talk about Ty all the time, one of the best players in the state, no question about it. I want to talk about the rebounding ability of Marcus Phillips. I mean, he just knows how to get to the basketball. And what's the progression? How do you like the big guy, Jacob Barker, who's now a junior for you? How do you like his progression?
Yeah, Marcus Phillips, one of the hardest working young men, most physically tough young guys you'll ever see. I called him the other day the Pierce Horning of high school basketball, because Pierce was known for rebounding, offensive boards, crashing, taking charges, diving on the floor. That's Marcus Phillips, and I think so highly of Marcus. He brings a tremendous element to our team. He can score 10, 15 points a game, and he can get 8 to 10 rebounds every game, and he's just consistent every day. His effort lifts everybody else. Jacob Barker, he continues to improve. I mean, you could look at Sterling and say, gosh, he only had 1 point and 4 rebounds, but Sterling played for the first time I've ever seen it, Coach. I've never seen them play a zone defense. And we didn't expect
to
prepare for it, right? I've never seen it in all my years. And they played a zone to pack it in on Jacob Barker. And, you know, it doesn't show up in the stats, but because of that, Cade Crutcher had 6 3-pointers and Ty has 5, because they're so worried about, like, how are we going to stop Jacob Barker down low, who had a huge game on him at our place last year in what turned out to be the conference championship game. So he's making an impact. He's continuing to improve his toughness, his rebounding, his scoring. And so I couldn't be more proud of him, along with Cody Michelson and Cade Crutcher, who had a 25-point game at Sterling.
Sure.
We had a lot of guys that are really stepping up. So we're proud of the progress.
Mike Holloway is saying, I never played zone, you know. So
yeah, I've never seen him on
some. There's some coaches you can't even say that to. Dean Grable's one of them. I had an analyst with me one time, and at halftime we interviewed Dean, and he said, I saw you drop into that zone. He says, don't ever say that word around me. We never play zone. So, yep.
Every time right. I go to a zone coach, I hit my assistant coach
that's
because
right.
the first shot they make a three. So,
yeah,
you know,
that's
our –
Exactly.
That's my – thing about zones, I think. So.
Right on.
Well,
Coach, thanks for jumping.
I can't say never, but I don't think you'll see me in one either. You won't see us in one either.
Got to work your tail off on that man-to-man. That's right.
That's Ryan.
Thank you so much for jumping on with us, and we'll talk to you on the court tomorrow night, okay?
Sounds great. Coach Dick, congrats on 700 wins, man. Great job.
Oh, hey, thanks very much. No, thank you very much, Coach.
Right.
Have
on
a great game tomorrow night. All right.
Thank
There's
you.
Ryan Yoder, the head basketball coach out at Resurrection Christian High School. All right, we're going to come back in a moment, and Eric Ehrlich, past chairman, he told me to just say he's one of the old guys in the group, and we'll come back, talk to Eric about the history of this show, what it means to him, and he's been here a long time. Come back in a moment. Continue. It's the 58th annual Colorado Farm Show. They've been out here since 1964. It's packed, too. There's a ton of people. The greatest thing is to see traffic is back up and where it belongs in certainly the biggest thing we have out here are our ag resources and ag community. We'll come back in a moment and continue on Clark and the Coach. Thank you to AMCO Fort Collins, AMCO of Loveland, putting the care back into car care. We're back in a moment on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back. It's Clark and the Coach. It's a Colorado Farm Takeover today. Colorado Farm Show, 58th annual. Been doing this since 1964 out here. And Eric Ehrlich, past chairman, is going to sit down with us right now. Been out here volunteering at the Farm Show for 20 years out here. Eric, how are you today?
I'm good. It's great to be back on with you guys. When I saw you, I was like, almost felt like I was a lost dog. And then you found me. I was like, hey, how's it going?
I
know you guys. You know, when you get out of the machine of being involved heavily and stuff. And
sure.
Every year seeing you guys out and KFK, not just during my tenure on the board, but, I mean, we're going back to 1964.
That's right.
KFK has
always
been there for the Colorado Farm Show, so we appreciate the support.
Yeah, no question about it. Talk about your history with the show and how you got started in it and why it's so important to you.
Well, my family, much like everybody on the board, volunteers, there's over 100 of them. They all started, they've had family in ag, they're still current producers in ag, of any sectors of agribusiness, and it's a voice
right.
in a state of Colorado with a lot of growth, a lot of industry coming in. And so it's time for us to keep telling our story about the tradition of agriculture, not just in Weld County, which
sure.
is very rich, but in the whole state. And so my family, ancestors, sugar beet farmers, came across, much like a lot of other settlers, early 1900s, and then grew up on the farm, grew up, and then my connection was not farming anymore, and being a broker with Renaissance Insurance Group, I offer agribusiness.
Fantastic.
And so my clients are farmers and ranchers, and so that's my connection, and then started out as volunteering with the Colorado Farm Show, and then... And, It's silly to say it, but becomes a mental illness.
There you go.
And so 20 years later now, I'm sitting as a past chairman, and we have a great list of forefathers, men and women,
sure.
That are past chair, and we're just here now as a support and history and to the current board.
Today is Dairy Day out here. We were talking to Eric Brown, the marketing chair, and about yesterday's shows, and he said cool things with small animals yesterday, and Dairy Day today. You've got Equine Day coming up tomorrow. There's so many cool things in here. What I like is the fact that, one, there you got over 350 vendors, so you can come out and talk to all of the vendors out here, but there's so much to learn out here. There's so many classes, so many resources. You can go sit in on a lecture if you want.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the duality of the Colorado Farm Show is you got the Ag Trade Show, which brings in those over 300 vendors, and then you have the educational class. And then on top of that, too, you have FFA
that's right.
kids that come from their respective school, and they come in here and they volunteer their time as greeters. They go around. And tomorrow, Thursday, we spotlight Colorado Ag Education Day.
Sure.
And so your Colorado Vocational Ag Teachers Association, which are the ag teachers across the state of Colorado, come in and they start their first day of their three-day winter conference.
Fantastic.
So it's been good partnerships with the Colorado FFA, Colorado Young Farmers. And we're here as a mission statement, being Colorado Farm Show, is to promote agriculture in the state of Colorado, and it all starts with the youth from 4-H to FFA.
One of the things I love, and I talk to so many student athletes throughout the year, who, and a lot of them, a ton of them out here that have participated in FFA, just sets them up. I mean, for whatever reason, they can communicate so much better. They just seem to be way ahead of the curve of the kids that grow up in FFA, in and around the ag business. I just think that, boy, when you get in front of a prospective employer down the road, that's gold. I mean, and you can kind of tell those kids from a mile apart.
Well, you can, and we'll be partial. I mean, if somebody's listening and they've never really been in agriculture or whatever, but, you know, there comes some heavy responsibilities if you're born and raised on a farm.
Sure.
or a ranch, and with FFA and 4-H, and those responsibilities are being caretakers of livestock or being responsible for somebody else. And so when that's taught at an early age in the ag community, that sets a good foundation and a base for being a little bit more responsible, I guess you'd say.
Sure.
Now, that isn't to say that somebody that grew up in town or the city isn't going to be less responsible, but it just shows the passion of agriculture and how the family design is set up to have perpetuation to keep agriculture alive in not only Colorado, but, you know, Colorado is one of the few states that feeds the world.
Absolutely.
And that is a pretty powerful statement.
What a responsibility.
And what a responsibility. Oh. So if you look at world economy and stuff, Colorado's right in there. We don't have to touch upon them or anything because the listeners will know. Weld County is in the top 10 in many sectors of ag production.
Right on. Favorite high school sport for you?
It's still football.
You're still a football guy?
It's still a football guy. No. I mean, and now I got kids playing at Severance High School. And
you
so,
do.
So
all
I'm,
right.
So I'm going around and I'm seeing
Mr. Van Winkle out there is the head coach.
Yeah,
I know Jeff.
And
yeah.
I'm seeing all of the Roosevelts and Niwots and Fort Morgan.
That's right.
And I'm seeing guys that I played football with in the late late 90s. In the early 90s. I guess mid-90s when I was over at UNC in the Joe Glenn era.
That's right.
Man. Because some of the smaller schools, when I say smaller, Fort Morgan, for once, or Roosevelt, they have their all-conference pitchers of kids that go back to like 40 years.
It's unbelievable.
And so I sit there now, and I'm one of those guys like my dad was, and now my boys are saying, Dad, you sit there and look at pictures of guys in 89, 88, and I'm like, yeah.
That's exactly right.
Those are the guys that you're rubbing up against on the court. Or out on the football field.
We were talking to Troy Grafey, who was a longtime basketball coach at Greeley Central. They just came out with a Hall of Fame. We're going back and talking about guys that were in the 20s.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's unbelievable. The history of high school sports out here, I'm blessed to be a big part of that out here. But
it's
unbelievable.
You got to have fun. I mean, that's the whole thing is that when you're out there and you're broadcasting and you have the communities – and you can put a Platte Valley and an Eaton game and spotlight that.
Unbelievable.
You know, you are bringing in 100 years of history.
Oh, yeah. No.
And so it's just awesome. And so I'm a little bit of a black sheep, which is okay because I'm a Windsor Wizard.
You are. That's right.
My kids are Severance, and so it's just all based off of boundaries.
That's right. That's exactly that's, right.
So Windsor is not like it was in the late 80s. It is now a metropolitan area.
It sure is. What a boom. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But, Chris Jones over there, the head football coach, too. And everything, one of my favorite guys now, the athletic director over there, Eric Johnson as well, too. So
absolutely. You know, he's a Greeley West guy.
That's right.
And so I gave him guff. I'm like, really, West guys thought we were the Hicks from the Sticks back in the day in Windsor, you know? So I'm like, now you want to come over here and be a Wizard? Obviously, all kidding aside.
Righto.
But, hey, wanted to touch on back on the Colorado Farm Show. So
sure.
The reason why we have this show is we raise money for the scholarships.
Right.
And so I would really encourage everybody to go to ColoradoFarmShow.com.
Perfect.
Or get on to Pass Greeley Tribune. And see all of the scholarship winners. We have
fantastic, yes.
Because we average anywhere from $28,000 to $31,000 a year of committed dollars to not only graduating high school seniors that want to go into agriculture, but also rolling scholarships, which are kids are already in college and they have to reapply.
Right.
And we help support them while they're in college.
That is huge.
And so tonight is the scholarship dinner, and so we're going to bring in kids from all four corners that were winners and recipients, and that's really the cool thing.
You bet.
So that is the bottom line, because they say, well, what do you do at the Colorado Farm Show outside of have a big social meet and greet? Everybody gets to see each other's relationship driven. You're seeing the traffic and everything. It goes back to the kids.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Eric, thank you for all that you do for this show. Thanks for coming out and sitting with us, going through some of the history. But, yeah, just thanks for being out here and putting yourself in the middle of all this.
Hey, back at you guys. And you know what? Maybe you guys should put it together a 50-year KFK alumni team.
There you go. There you go.
I don't think we could do it in football, but
yeah.
Maybe we could do it in basketball.
They better do it quick, because I don't know how much longer I have, to be honest with you.
One-minute period.
That's right.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Eric, thank you so much. Eric Ehrlich, one of the past chairmen here of the Colorado Farm Show. We'll come back, wrap things up here. 58th annual Colorado Farm Show, out here since 64. It's packed. Come on out. $5 to park. Free to get in. That $5 parking, a lot of that money going to go right towards those scholarships that Eric was talking about. We'll come back in a moment and wrap up. Clark and the Coach here on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. All right, welcome back. It is Clark and the Coach live and on location, the Colorado Farm Show, the 58th annual since 1964 out here. Coach sits down with me again last night, and we were going to hit some of the scores from last night. We were out at Highland High School as the Huskies got the 75-69 win over Platte Valley to go up a game in the league play. 3-0 now for the Huskies, Pete Freeman's team. But, Coach, big loss. I don't know how they're gonna have to do X-rays, but Sawyer Morgan, one of the best rebounders in the state, went out early with got rolled up on his ankle, and don't know whether it's a fracture or a sprain. But talked to his dad afterwards. They're going to take a look at it at the doctor today and figure out what he's got to go. But boy, that's a huge factor for Pete Freeman.
Well, that would be a huge loss, and let's hope it's. Well, you know, it's hard to tell with ankles initially, and
let's
just hope it's one of those that he gets better news today than all the fearful, you know, thoughts that go through, you know, a kid and a parent's mind when something like that happens. But I hope he's a good to go here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Colton Stankey, terrific last night. Hyatt Toll, who has been really sick, did play last night. You could tell he was a little gassed at the end, but, boy, he put forth a great effort and was our Norfolk Iron and Metal player of the game last night. Other scores, we'll just run through them real quick. Strasburg 72-54 over Frontier Academy. Liberty Common whopped Wellington 69-22. And how about Bobby Irvin and University upsetting the number 4 Reds last night 75-67. Desmond Williams goes off for 36.
Boy, that's just a great win for the Bulldogs. You know, Desmond, we knew he had that in him.
You bet.
That he was just going to explode some night. And, boy, I'm sure in the eyes of the Bulldogs, he couldn't have picked a better night than to have it against the Eaton Reds.
Yeah, no question about it. So huge win for University. Tomorrow on the show on Clark and the Coach, Bruce and I are going to have Matt Baumgartner, the girls coach. They play Eaton tonight in a big one. So we'll get Matt on. We'll also talk about our Weld County All-Star game coming up in March. March 14th, they're going to play 4 games. They're going to do the boys' game, a girls' game, and a boys' and girls' futures game as well. So should be a fantastic setting. But we'll talk to Matt. We're going to try to get Bobby Irvin on tomorrow as well.
Yeah, that's just a big win for Coach Irvin and his team.
Let's see, Res Christian, as we said, we just talked to Ryan Yoder. They won 67-32 over Valley. Severance beats Riverdale Ridge, two pretty good basketball teams, 78-71 last night. Didn't get any stats on the ball game, but that's a good win for Chad.
Very impressive win for Coach Saul's team. To Riverdale Ridge is a quality program, quality team, and, boy, there's been some great games here lately in high school hoops.
Greeley West last night. I know Greeley West lines up as a 6A team, I think, when it comes time for the playoffs, but took on number one Holy Family 4A, beat them last night 55-52.
They sure did. I think when people look at that score, it's kind of a shocker, kind of a surprise vote. So congrats to the Spartans.
How about kudos to John Rakeski and the Windsor Wizards? Big win at Meade and Darren Reese's team last night, 52-49, their 11th win of the year.
11th win of the year. It's at Coach Rakeski's 100th win.
Is that
at
right?
Windsor High
at
School,
Windsor,
too.
Boom.
So, boy, to go to – was that game at Meade?
That was at Meade.
At Meade. To go into their house and pull off a win – that is a sensational performance by the Wizards.
Number 9, Longmont beat number 11, Silver Creek, 55-46. Talk about two old coaches that know how to do it, Kloster and Big Bob Bailey.
They've had a few matchups over the years.
That is for sure. Other games last night, Roosevelt got a nice win, 59-50 over Niwot. Northridge also 77-61. Greeley Central beat Centaurus last night. So the Cats get a win, 69-65, no doubt.
Nice win for Greeley Central.
Matt Johansson's team, number one team in the state, the Fossil Ridge Sabercats, took care of business, 72-37 over Prairie View. And your Lambkins came out on fire, 21-6 first quarter last night. You guys handled Monarch, and what you said is maybe your best effort of the year, an 80-60 victory.
Really impressed by our kids last night as far as just how they came out from the start, faced some defensive changes throughout the game, and adapted well. To man and pressure and zone by Monarch. So good win for our guys.
Your big guy, senior Luke Wagstaff, is playing the Joker, isn't he now?
Oh, I'll tell you
this
what, he had some passes last night that were just phenomenal. Good support, Jace King, Jamar Mitchell, Joe Cottingham, Andrew Corn. Everybody had a good game.
It's one of those don't you love that?
Games yep. when everybody contributes. So congrats to those guys.
What do you guys got coming up now? What's next on the
agenda? We have Loveland Friday night at Loveland.
That's a buddy of yours, Chris Gebhardt, of course.
Chris Gebhardt. We know those guys play hard, and it's always a interesting game when the Lambkins and Red Wolves match up.
Boy, no doubt about it. All right, so we're going to wrap things up here from the Colorado Farm Show, 58th annual Colorado Farm Show, out here since 1964. And get on out here. $5 to park. Entrance is free. That $5 goes towards all the scholarships and all that good stuff. So it's a wonderful resource. Over 350 vendors out here. They've got food and drinks. Tons of resources for learning inside classrooms. It's all about our huge agricultural community in northern Colorado. Thank you to Ryan Yoder for jumping on, the Resurrection Christian head coach, Eric Brown, the marketing chairman.